this. So thanks for coming and being patient as this all is loading. And I'm Tina, and I'm here to present an investigation on the impact of compost tea applications on turf quality and soil microbial activity.
Can you hear that?
Yeah. Here, I'll just, okay, here I am. So at Texas State University, we have a composting operation called Bobcat Blend, and where we collect food waste and we process it into compost. And we got a little bit of funding to buy a big compost tea brewer, and we wanted to start selling compost tea to campus. And but the grounds folks wanted to have some evidence that it would benefit them before they started purchasing. And when I was looking into some of the literature, there really wasn't all that much info out there about compost tea. So that was some of the inspiration for this project. So what is compost tea? And it's a liquid-based soil inoculating fertilizer where you typically we'll use either compost or verma castings from worms, and where they generate the compost for you. And if you, you know, look into it, there's different ways to make compost tea, but usually you soak the compost in a bag or sometimes just loose in water, and that releases the microbes into the solution. And you pump in air and often a food source to help to make more of the microbes that you're trying to inoculate the soil with. So again, I mentioned some of our personal rationale for doing the study, but we wanted to start with studying turf because that's a big industry. And of course, more and more folks are interested in organic types of solutions to landscape problems. We also know that, especially in the home landscape, a lot of times if folks see that they should put a little bit of fertilizer on, then they'll just use even more than that. They're like, this should be great then. And with some of these alternatives, that would help alleviate some of the problems that we have associated with the chemicals. And more and more folks are also aware of compost tea, and so there's a market for that and industrial types of applications of compost tea. So the purpose of our study was to look at compost tea applications and evaluate overall turf quality and soil microbial activity. So we used the National Turf Grass Evaluation Program's guidelines for turf quality, looking at the variables listed there, color, turf density, uniformity, the percent living ground cover and texture. And we also sent in soil samples to look at microbial activity. We started with two 60 square foot Bermuda grass sites, and we had those on campus. We do have a park on campus that runs along our San Marcos River, and so we tried to find sites that were really pretty close together, but we had one that was irrigated and one that was non-irrigated, and we divided those 60 square foot sections into 30 square foot, where we had a control and a treatment, where we applied the compost tea to the treatment areas. Of course, we marked the edges of the plots with metal pens, but we left them to be used and maintained regularly by grounds, and the access was allowed to the general public. One section was artificially irrigated, and both of the sites were in full sun. And again, we tried to get them reasonably close to one another so that they would have similar soil conditions. The compost tea was created using a big compost tea brewer that we had from that Erath Earth company. And the recommended recipe included 200 gallons of water with our Bobcat blend compost that we do regularly test for compost quality standards, nitrate, some molasses, and we applied each ingredient and allowed stuff to dissolve, and then we brewed it. The tea applications occurred within 2 hours of brewing each time, you know, to ensure that the microbes were living. Usually you have up to 24 hours to apply it. We just used a soil drench method of application where they were applied by hand in a watering can to each of the application areas. And we used 12 gallons to fully cover those areas. We had seasonal test periods that ranged with spring, summer, and, you know, late summer, fall for us that are outlined there in April and May, July and August, and October and November. And that's when we applied 4 applications during those weeks for each of those test periods. Again, they were maintained normally by the grounds crews, where they would just do regular mowing and no fertilizer applications. And there were children playing and sunbathing and folks walking in those areas like you would see in a normal, you know, campus or park area. For the sampling, we took 15 samples for each of the soil and the turf at each of the 4 sites during 4 annual visits. So we had samples drawn in April at the start of the study, again towards the early summer, late spring in June. In September in Texas is generally super summer, so you could maybe consider it that, but we're kind of rolling into fall and then November before things would go dormant for the Bermuda grass. So we tried to correspond that and the study, of course, to the active growing season for Bermuda. Altogether, that came out to 240 samples. And after we drew the soil samples, we stored them in, sealed plastic bags until we had lab analysis. And the soil samples were submitted as a spring at the start of the study, and then a composite summer and fall soil sample. In doing our sampling, we used a step point intercept method, which basically meant that our plots were divided into, you kind of saw the little grid, and that we would bring back and forth when we would do our sampling. And we had a kind of triangular pointed rock that we threw into the plot, and that would give us more of a random sort of sample for how we drew our samples. So in doing the soil samples, of course, we were drawing the samples 4 times per for each of the seasons, and we would take soil cores during that. But for the turf quality samples, we threw the rock in, and then we would rate the turf on each of those variables listed. So for the turf grass evaluation, we used a Likert scale that ran from 9 to 1, with 9 being best and 1 being poorest. And given the turf grass quality standards, typically for a general use area, 6 is considered an acceptable rating. So again, your ratings are based on a consideration of the turf grass species, the park-like intensity. So of course you would have higher standards if you were on a golf course or a sports field or something like that. So it's recommended that we take multi-season measurements, which we did. And again, we used those National Turf Grass Evaluation Program guidelines and standards. So for color, we rated from 9 being dark green to 1 light green. And to try to keep some consistency beyond that, we only used 1 evaluator. We also had a color chart. For turf density, that's where you're looking at living plants or tillers. And again, 9 is typically the best evaluation. For uniformity, you're looking at the density to weeds and other species. And percent living ground cover is just that, where it's the surface that's by the originally planted species. And then texture is rated from 9 being a fine texture to 1 being a coarse texture, of course, with consideration of the species. For our soil microbiology, we considered other types of ways to evaluate. We started trying to do a tetrazolam test because that was a recommended way to also look at microbiology, but we just didn't have the right equipment to really evaluate the intricacies of getting the microbiology. So we ended up sending it off to this lab, Harrington's Organic Land Care in Bloomfield, Connecticut, that quantified our total bacteria, our total fungi, protozoa, the amounts of organic matter, our pH, and our electrical conductivity. And we had pretty good luck with that, I think. So everything was entered into Excel, and then we looked, we also used SPSS to evaluate, looking at frequencies and descriptives for the turf quality stuff. And then, of course, we have the lab results from the Harrington's lab. We used a multivariate analysis of variance to compare groups with a post hoc test of least significant difference to tell where our differences were occurring. In our turf quality ratings, we found statistically significant differences on all variables, with the irrigated treatment site performing the best in terms of our turf quality standards. So the yellow highlights are the highest ratings amongst the groups, and then the blue highlighted area is the next up. And you can see that the compost tea seemed like it was boosting us into the acceptable range for our park-like standards, given the turf quality standards in our comparisons of our groups throughout the study. So this was color and density. On uniformity, the control irrigation group was in the acceptable range, but again, the statistically significant differences showed that the 6.73 was just enough different. And percent living was up near 7 for our treatment and irrigation group. With just the treatment, sometimes you're still seeing things in the
acceptable range, like you did on the uniformity there.
And then for texture, we also saw some differences. So the overall turf quality ratings for this was just when we took all of the scores and averaged them for all of the variables, so that you could kind of see what the overall turf quality means were and how they panned down through the groups. For our soil lab test results, I know this is a lot of info, so I tried to highlight that the largest numbers in terms of the microbiology were, again, in our treatment group, and especially in the spring application. So that kind of makes sense that you, in the earlier spring, before we have our drought situations and stuff, even with the irrigation, you know, that's a really stressful time for plants in Texas. And so with the spring irrigation group, we had the most microbiology. One thing that's maybe you guys have some ideas, because we just got these results in shortly before the meeting, and I was excited that they came in time that I could include it. But I didn't know what to think of.
Electrical conductivity for
for the summer fall irrigation and treatment group. So of course, like in droughty situations, a lot of times you'll have wicking of salts and stuff up into the, but it's so much higher than the control and everything. So you guys can tell me what you think about that. So the salt content, occurred in our irrigated areas, and our treatments. But in terms of other conclusions, we had, the site which received the compost tea and regular irrigation had higher, and best turf ratings. It also had more microbial activity, and we saw that the compost tea seemed like it improved the turf quality ratings beyond that of just regular irrigation, and sometimes it was enough to boost things into an acceptable range for park-like turf. And we want to compare our soil samples statistically and extend the treatment times. Thank you.
Sorry, no time for questions.